Now, Father, we are here again, just like we always come. Come for the next phase of our lives. Come for the next seasons of our lives, of our nations, of our cities, our families, all our relationships. And we trust you as we have commenced by your Spirit, that you will help us. You will help us to receive help from you. We have asked for new experiences. You are giving us new experiences. In prayer, new experiences. In worship, new experiences. In fasting, new experiences. New experiences with your Spirit. New experiences. Nothing like ever before. In our lives. And we speak ahead of time that by next Thursday, we'll have stepped into new territories in the Spirit, new realms in your purpose and plan for our lives. Amen. You have your seat, praise the Lord. Welcome again to another World Changers Conference. So this morning, very briefly as I do, I want to share when we pray, what happens? What happens when we pray? The first thing I'll say is that there's nothing God does in the earth without getting men to pray. So if there's no urge to pray, it means God is not using you for anything. When there's no burden to pray, when there's no stirring to pray, when there's no leading to pray, it means God is not doing anything with your life. Anyone that God is using is known by prayer. So if God is not stirring you to pray, if he's not leading you to pray, if there is no burden to pray, it means he is not using you. Now, the Lord showed me something that I'm very careful to share, but I'll share it. You know, and there are some people that we see who are in the limelight. When I say limelight, people that you see. And sometimes you wonder, maybe such people are not even giving to prayer. They talk down on prayer. But it appears somehow that you think in the background, about this is a ministry that seems to have the hand of the Lord upon him, upon them. But listen to this and put this down, you know, that God is using someone to pray for them. And when the rewards of the work are going to be granted, it won't be granted to the people you know. It will be granted to the person he knew. So therefore, the ministry of prayer is not a glamorous one. It's not one for show. Is one that is between you and the Lord. That's why in Matthew 6, Jesus warned that you go into your closet. It doesn't mean you go into a room. It simply means that it is a private interaction. It's a private transaction. Or let's say experience. I take back the word transaction. That's what it is. You just find that he lays on some people to pray for others who might not be praying. So if you are finding yourself where God is not urging you to pray, or there is no leading to pray, it means there's an absence, as it were, of his assignment in your life. Because the intensity of God's hand upon us, or let's say God's assignment in our lives, will come forth in prayer. I'm going to give you some statements here. In Matthew 26, and verse 41. Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, I know you know this already, that before Jesus came, we had two people, at least known people, that were in the temple and praying. Luke 2 talks about Simeon and Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, who was a prophetess. Upon again, when he was going to be baptized, he's there praying. Praying as John was baptizing him. He goes into the wilderness again to pray. There's so much consistency that you wonder if God in the flesh could depend so much on praying, then you and I need to see the treasures, the value, and the importance of that ministry. When he was going to choose his own apostles, he went up apart again to pray and came back and chose them. There will be moments like that, that he will send away the crowd. Send away. It's like staying off television. It's like staying off preaching. It's like staying off counseling. And he withdraws apart to pray. If those moments are not there to you, then what should be? He withdraws to pray. So prayer is what you have to withdraw to do. Withdraw from activities. Jesus even withdrew from ministry. In that sense of withdrew from public preaching and teaching. There are times too that you and I, it's not that we'll stop preaching and teaching, because he didn't. But there will be a day you just, and you notice that it's just a day, you didn't take 5 days off. It was just a day, you just stay off. And you'll stay there all night praying. Why? It shows you therefore that if you thought that the strength of his ministry was because God became flesh, then you are wrong. No, the strength of his ministry can be traced to his prayer life. If I want to have the kind of ministry Jesus had, which I should anyway, because that's the ministry I have, if I want to reflect his glory and character in my ministry, I must take prayer as consistently as he did. And there are times like that he would go the whole day. He would go the whole night, and he was very consistent. Now, the key part I want to show you here is that in Matthew 26:41, imagine this one, and which is why you should never say, well, as long as my pastor is praying, my husband is praying, my wife is praying. And I've seen people like that say, my wife is a prayerful woman, my husband is a prayerful man, my so-so and so-so, and they are being silly. Here is Jesus, the Lord of Lords. He's going to pray. And he takes his own disciples, whom he saved, whom he will save, and he will yet save. He takes them to go and pray. Which means even Jesus praying for you is not enough. He had prayed for them, John 17. In Luke 22, he says he had prayed for Peter. But that does not take the responsibility or praying away. He said, pray that you fall not into temptation. Now, he had prayed for them, yet he told them that they have to pray. So if with Jesus with them, Jesus praying, they have to pray. So it is not sufficient that you have a prayerful partner, a prayerful pastor, a prayerful associate. It does not in any way substitute your own prayer life. Like I think Charles Spurgeon said, he said, if we see people who are believers, who are heroes, who suffer for the gospel, who give their all for the work of the ministry, you hear about people who are soaked in the ministry of prayer. You are not to admire them. That is not your job. You are not to talk about them alone. That's not your duty. You are to emulate what they are doing. When you look at the lives of people, we are first square ground today. This ministry is a product of the prayer life of a woman almost 100 years ago, who was given to fasting, praying. Sometimes she will go a whole week indoors praying. That's why you are here today. And it was sustained also by numerous successors that she had in the work of the ministry. So there is no substitute for it. Somebody is praying for you is not a substitute. In fact, if the person's prayer was answered, let me use the word, or is effective, you should start praying. Because Jesus prayed so that they can pray. So there's no substitute for it. There's nothing like, I have prayed before. He says, pray that you do not enter. He says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. He says, can't you walk with me for an hour? So which means in prayer, we watch. There is no better way to be a pastor, to have oversight over your disciples' flock, than prayer. Prayer is the most effective oversight that you can have as a leader. When you see a church, a ministry used by God, and you see so many people turning out, well, it is because there's somebody over that work that is giving to deep prayer and supplication. There is no alternative to praying. There is no such alternative to praying. There is no, if you can't pray, do this. There's no such instruction in scripture. One of the things I'm going to share in this conference is how we should be very careful of a compromised understanding of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, such that we are throwing behind the work of the Spirit and the supernatural, and we're looking at how technical we can be, how technology can help us, how strategic we can be, how pragmatic we can be, what dangers lie ahead. Because usually when you sow a seed, you don't see the fruit until a while. Many times we are only excited because we are yet to see the harvest of the things that we are sowing. So we don't have a substitute for prayer. If you are starting a walk, if you have started a walk, you are praying. If you are continuing the walk, you are praying. Now let me add one more. If you want to end a walk, you will pray. That's when you know the walk cannot end. You want to end it. Pastor, I'm thinking I should just close this church. It's alright. Go and pray to end it. You discover as you start praying, it will never end. It shows you the power of prayer. Usually, the devil does his best for you not to pray. And he will get you to worry. He will get you to grumble. He will get you to complain. He will get you to do everything but pray. If you are here, and I'm saying this very vitally, and you are getting frustrated already in ministry, you are getting distracted and you know it, you are getting worried, you are getting afraid, you are getting anxious, this is where to drop that thing. This is it. This is it. If you stay long in the place of prayer, all those things will wear off. Everything. All your fears will escape. All your worries and doubts will escape. If you stay in the place of prayer, usually Satan makes you not to pray. Well, after all, you have prayed. We'll see something in a moment. After all, you have prayed. And after you have prayed, this now happened. And all that is to make sure you don't pray again. But if you are a wise person, you pray. When Elijah sent out his boy, said, go and check his servant. He said, I can't see anything. He didn't say, hey, he prayed. He went back, he said, he prayed again. The answer to not seeing the result is to keep praying. He prayed again. That's why James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth more. He said, Elijah was a man of like passions who prayed. And then he said he prayed again. You learn to pray again. You learn to pray again. So, what does prayer do? Before I get there, prayer is not a destination that you say, I prayed. A prayer was a building. Then you should get to a point which you have built the building. But prayer is not a building where you say, oh, since we have done this part, the toilet is finished, the bathroom is finished, the living rooms are done, okay, we use this, the lobby is okay. So that's not prayer. Prayer is not a building that you can say, I have built it. It's not a building. If prayer was a building, it would have been done. Neither is prayer a destination, such that after Thursday, you say, I have prayed enough for 2023. No. That means you missed why you came. Prayer is not a destination where you say, I have gotten there. It's not a building. Where you say, we are done building. Neither is it a destination. We are there now. So where are you now? We are there. Where? We are where we are finished praying. No? It's not a destination. So, in case you set your target and say, you know, you can have that thing and say, well, I'm going to pray for 6 hours. And I just, so I said, go! Say, yes, I have prayed. Now, I will know whether you are praying by what you will do afterwards. Because if prayer is a destination, then you will not have any instruction in scripture to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Ephesians 6:18, to pray always. There will be no such instruction. You'll just say, if you have prayed, give thanks. No. It's pray always. So it's not a building. It's not a destination. Such that you say, I've set 24 hours to pray and that is all. I will continue to do other things since I have prayed. Since I have prayed. I have eaten this morning. Have you had breakfast? Yes. Have you had, I'm not talking to you. Have you had lunch? Yes. Have you had this one? Yes. Have you finished the assignment? Yes. Have you done this one? Yes. Have you done that one? Yes. Have you preached? Yes. Are you done with the sermon? Yes. Are you, you know, those are things you can say, I have finished it. But there's no such connotation to prayer. There's nothing like I have prayed. It says, praying always. Pray without ceasing. It's a continuous instruction. So, a day of prayer leads to another day of prayer. You should never see hours of prayer as an achievement, except you are foolish. No. Hours of prayer are not an achievement. It's not worth going on Facebook and writing it, except something else wrong with you. The third thing I will say, if prayer was a show, it's not a show. Prayer is not a show. Oh, yes, you know, and then you now put your, you now put pictures and, you know, someone came last year and was seeing people pray. I wanted to bring, and I goes, oh, no, what are you doing this for? Bring him camera. For what? Just show, you know, the things happening. It doesn't hit you where you are bringing camera. Your phone battery should have gone off since. For your phone battery to still be working, your prayer life has gone. Yeah, he's taking pictures. I say, my God, see people. Some people say, I pray. They say, we are praying. It's not a show. If prayer was a show, we'll just clap for you and say, show over. There is no show person that can be showing all the time. If it's a building, you won't pray all the time. If it's a destination, you won't pray all the time. If it's a show, you cannot sustain it all the time. If you are praying to show people, that's why I have to warn some of you. You just put it on your flyer. We are going to pray 10 to 10. 10 to 10. You have gotten your reward because we have clapped for you. There's no need for that. There's no need. It's not a competition. It's not a competition. So we say, the goat of prayer, greatest of all time in prayer. There's nothing like that. It's not a competition. Someone say, I went to a meeting, they prayed 20 hours. I said, we're going to do our own 24 hours. Hey. By the time we are done with the competition, that's all. It's not a competition. Neither is it an achievement. If prayer was about what you want, there's coming a time you'll be satisfied. So prayer is not about what you want. It's not a building that you will finish building. It's not a destination that you will get there and you are done. Neither is it a show. It is not about what you want. Prayer is beyond you. Prayer is beyond me. I call it, for the purpose of this conference, God's support system for all things. That is His support system for all things. That is how He supports all things. Have you wondered that after we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, after we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings, every blessing in Christ Jesus, after we have been given the indwelling of the Spirit, after we have been given the life of God, eternal life with an eternal security to it, after we have been sealed, yet we have never been given the gift of prayer. After we have been given all those wonderful things, it appears like everything was given to you so that you can pray. A man by the name of Reverend Mark Hankins said the believer's authority is exercised primarily by prayer. So everything you have been given, righteousness as a gift, life of God, the Spirit, all synonymous, is so that you will pray. So it's not a building that you are done, which is, assuming we are done tomorrow morning, the first session, you don't say, let me go and rest. Yes, let me go and rest so that I can continue. That is it. Let me go and attend to my office duties, assuming this is church, so that when I'm not, I can continue. Let me attend to my children. They need my attention so that after that I can continue. Let me go and preach in the church so that I can continue. Let me go and sleep for today so that when I wake up I can continue. Pray. It is not a project that you can say we are done. Celebrate with us. We just prayed 40 hours. No. The 40 hours is a seed for another one. So prayer is not a destination. It's not a building. It's not a show. That is why, like I said to you, when I was teaching on prayer initiative, it seemed like everybody that God called, they knew what to do next. When Jesus gave them the Great Commission, Acts 1:14 says they continued. Now, the continued will let you know that when they were with Jesus, they were praying. They continued in prayer and supplication in one accord. It's not difficult to know that on the day of Pentecost, it was a prayer meeting. Acts 2:1, they were in one accord in one place. Acts 1:14, Acts 2:1 together. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of every fellowship, and prayers. Acts 1, Peter and John went to the temple in the hour of prayer. You can't miss the prayer pattern. Acts 4:24, they lifted up their voice in one accord and prayed. Acts 4:31-30, the place where they were, where they prayed was shaken together. You cannot miss it. So there's not such a thing as I have prayed. No. A Christian should say, I am praying. I am praying. Not I have prayed. Not when we are done praying. We can never be done praying on anything. The transactional nature of the teaching on prayer has made people feel that we give thanks because it has been done and we are not praying anymore. That is not true. We are to pray always. We are to pray all the time. So it's not a building that we are done building. It's not a project. It's not a show. Signs that life has been compromised. Worry, anxiety, the works of the flesh. Worry, anxiety. I'm just jittery generally. I'm confused. Why? Because I've not been praying. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He says, and he said he will give you peace that passes understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. So, it's not an option. It's not one of the options. Choose one. Prayer, the word, or worship. There's no such option. It's prayer, then prayer, then prayer, then prayer. And prayer, not a destination, not a building, not a show, not a project, but a lifelong activity. I'll say prayer is like breathing. You don't say, I have breathed for today. Prayer is like breathing. I keep breathing. I keep breathing. Even when I'm sleeping, I'm breathing. Don't say, well, I want to sleep so that I can stop breathing. No. It's like breathing. It's like the breath of a man to keep praying. The Look at your responsibilities. It's not even possible for a responsible Christian can even say, I've finished praying. Which aspect did you finish praying? Ephesians 6, it says, pray for all saints. How many have you prayed for that you are done? If you take every one of us here and pray for us one person per day, you will be holier than Methuselah. You can't say you are finished praying. When you are told to pray for all saints, I know all saints are different. I'm not saying saints community. All, you know, there are different kinds of saints. There are saints that are not saintly. There are saints that you don't even know they are saints. There are those who are not saints, you think they are saints. So they have different kinds, and you have to pray for all of them. Pray for those who preach the gospel. Imagine if you have to pray for those who preach the gospel all over the world. Pray for all men. 1 Timothy 2:1. All men. That one, nah. All men. Say, sir, all men. All men where? Everywhere. Pray for all men. Including those who criticize. Including those who don't. In fact, he said, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who hate you. Pray for all men. Pray for all ministers. So in this conference, we are going to pray for as many things, as many people as possible. Of course, strategically, people that we know that when we have prayed for them, we have prayed for others. You pray for ministers. Pray in your local church. There is nobody in a church who is given to praying with and for the church that can ever constitute a problem in that church. I'm not saying that you attend the prayer meeting. You can attend the prayer meetings and for the sake of just attending. But if in your private life, you are lifting up your church, your disciples, your pastor, those who work with you, you can never have strife in that church with anybody. It's not possible. You can't contribute in division in that place. It's not possible. It is not possible. Because you can't look up and down at the same time. So you have to pray for who the scripture says to pray for. You don't even need people to say pray for me. God's word has already instructed you to pray for them. To pray for them. And I'm telling you something in this conference. In the prayer services, in the prayer sessions, we are going to receive revelation. I'm not even praying for you. I'm telling you what's going to happen. I have prayed for you before you came. That when you pray for the nations, when you pray for your churches, your eyes will open to things you never knew. You will receive wisdom you never had. So, you must never lose concentration. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't lose concentration, no. Something will drop from heaven. Power of God is here. We are not joking here at all. We are not doing activity. If this place doesn't change your life, then I don't think you're born again. Yes. Because you will see things. There will be fresh love on your heart. Fresh passion. For these things that you are praying about. So you are praying for all things. And you are focused. You are focused. Focused. All the worries and doubts, confusion, I don't know what to do, they will drop off. You can't come here for that. No. Because that is why we are here. We are here for fresh experiences. Fresh discoveries. Look at such men. Like Abraham. God knew something was going to happen in Sodom. He called him. And the man stood there and prayed. And prayed. He wasn't living in Sodom. His nephew was there, no doubt, but he wasn't there. So which means that the burdens of places you don't even go to will come to your heart. Jacob was like that. He wrestled as he took time to pray in Genesis 32 and says he got power with God. He was a prince with power with God. Which means that in the place of prayer, we assume authority. Prayer makes you assume authority. Prayer gives Abraham authority. He gave Jacob authority. Let me go to another area, Ezekiel. After the prophet Isaiah had gone to him I'm sorry, the prophet had gone to him and told him, look, you are not going to stay more than this number of years. He turned his face to the wall and prayed. Which means prayer is also for impossible situations. Things that in the natural, even spiritually speaking, they look dead and buried, are the things why we pray. So we have too much to pray for to say that we have prayed. As we are praying, there will be new prayer points laid on your heart. That's where you know you are praying. As you finish praying, the next thing is you have another assignment to pray afterwards. Then you are prayed. What happens when we pray is that we have to pray again. That's what happens. The time some of us should spend in the place of prayer, we are spending browsing churches to see what the churches are doing so that we can replicate it. We are browsing Instagram, browsing Facebook, you know, getting into competition, getting into lust, getting into envy, jealousy. Time you spend in prayer, you are using it to look around the world seeking whom you may devour. No. Spend time in prayer and receive God's plan. That is where you receive God's plan. You won't get God's plan surfing the internet. You won't get God's plan moving from place to place. You will get God's plan in the place of prayer. I'll ask you this question as I start to close. If you knew your entire life depended on you praying, would you sleep? If you knew your entire ministry is dependent. And even some of us who understand, who speak of the grace of God, we take things for granted. We say, well, it's not about prayer. God loves me before I pray. You know, we make such statements like that. You know, it doesn't matter. Even if I miss it here, he will do this one. Even if I do this one, he will do that one. Even if I do this one, he will do that one. Carelessly. If you knew your life depended on you praying, would you tire out? No. Look at the many exams you sat for. You didn't want to retake it. And you took hours reading. Some of you will chop kola nut will chop you. You take orobo, kola nut, coffee, so that you will read and not return to the school. If you knew that your life and ministry depended on praying, would you sleep? Would you, like the apostles who did not know, say, pray lest you fall into temptation? They eventually did. Because they dozed off. That was all. Can't you watch for 1 hour? If you knew that your ministry depends on prayer, maybe I should add this, that other lives are depending on you praying. Nations of the world, how would you take prayer? Are you ready for the burden of the nations? Are you ready for the burden of other ministries, other people, other situations, other lives, other churches, other pastors, others? And if you are, this is the moment. It's the hour to key into what God is doing and know that prayer never comes to an end. Prayer never comes to an end. It's that continued life of the believer. He prays as he breathes. He breathes as he prays. Because prayer is like breathing to him. If you breathe now, it's to breathe again. If you breathe now, it's to breathe again. If you breathe now, it's to breathe again. It's when a man is dead that we say he has had his last breath. When a ministry is gone, they've had their last breath. When a preacher is gone, he has had his last prayer life. But that is not your lot in life, because you will keep breathing
You keep praying. This is the mountain where to turn things around. Where to, and the thing is this, as you are praying for one church, one ministry, something is happening to yours. As you are praying for one nation, something is happening to yours. You are praying for one thing, yet in the spirit you are handling four. That is the prayer life of a man sent from God. A man sent from God is not the product of the suit he wears, or the kind of grammar he speaks, or the Facebook life, or likes that he gets. A man sent from God is characterized by his prayer life. So we will pray. We have things to pray for, nations to pray for, ministries to pray for, our churches to pray for, our pastors to pray for, believers to pray for, the new converts to pray for. We have too much to pray for. That even the time we are allotted is just the beginning. Because there are many, many more years ahead. Many, many more hours ahead. Many more weeks ahead. Many more decades ahead. To labor in this act and in this ministry. 2023 is a time to strengthen churches, to plant more. To increase in the plantings of local churches all over the world. It's a time to establish churches and become stronger and stronger and stronger. The first step to it is not just prophecy. The first step to it is prayer. So if you look into the future, coming year, 2023 and beyond, where we're looking at the ministry of the world increasing in intensity all over the world, it means first things first. We have to pray. We have to be given to long time, hours, days, moments of intense and intentional prayer. Stand to your feet and commit yourself to this first prayer. Lord, I throw myself to your help. I give myself over to your purpose and plan to labor in prayer. To give myself to this. I have a whole day ahead of me. I am not weak. I am not weary. I am not distracted. I spend the next 24 hours and beyond staying in the place of prayer. Lord, I commit the next 24 hours and beyond.